just sit there. Call in now and voice your opinion. 781-837-4900.
And we are back. It's Monday Night Talk. And rejoining us is State Representative Jim Cantwell. I believe what particular district is yours?
I have the Irish Riviera, so it's all of Marshfield, and I say all of Scituate. There's one precinct of Scituate which we love, and we love all of Scituate, but one precinct that Garrett Bradley ably represents, who represents Cohasset, Hull, and Hingham as well.
Okay, I guess I would probably the first thing that I want to come right out of the gate. Where do things stand with the FY 2014 budget? Has there been any movement to get it passed? Because I know that it was not passed on June 30th, or before June 30th, and that right now we're kind of operating month by month until this thing is passed.
We were, and the good news is for the budget overall, the budget is completed. We have a series of overrides last week. There were gubernatorial overrides that related to local aid, some gubernatorial overrides that related to issues that we felt were important for storm assistance. There were things, particular issues for different towns that needed them for public safety. So the governor looked at the budget, sent back a number of items that he thought that the spending was something he didn't favor. Mm. He made vetoes. We overrode the vast majority of them last week. Tomorrow we're back in session and we'll be dealing with overrides on things like our ambulance bill.
Mm. Which that's something that you put together the legislation on that.
I have. So for folks who are listening, and WATD has done a phenomenal job bringing attention to this, insurance companies unilaterally 2 years ago changed the rules when it comes to emergency ambulance services.
Right.
In the past, you'd have an emergency, a person gets transported, the town of Marshall would send a bill to the insurance company, and the insurance company would pay them within 7-10 days. Unilaterally, insurance companies started 2 years ago and said, you know what, we want to reduce our cost, so you must join us and you'll take 60 cents on the dollar if you join our network. If you don't join our network and accept 60 cents on the dollar, we're not going to pay you directly anymore. We're going to pay the patient. And good luck to you to chase the patient and get paid later on. It's a really clever business model to try to twist the arms of our ambulance companies. And frankly, it's a threat to the integrity of the 911 service. So I filed legislation 2 years ago right after this started, working with our close friend Kevin Robinson, the fire chief here, mm-hmm, from Marshfield. It has passed the House. It has passed the Senate. It is something we're going to take up tomorrow with another gubernatorial override, and hopefully we'll be able to override that and get that signed into law.
I have to ask, now where does this stand in relations to the transportation finance bill? Has that been signed by the governor? And give me your thoughts on that.
Right. That has not been signed as of yet, but there was also an override last week for the transportation finance. Transportation, it's no secret to people listening, and folks may recall some 15 years ago, we had a sitting governor who said the big dig was on time, mm-hmm, and under budget. It was neither. Right, and everyone, we always will groan when we hear about it, but the big dig has sucked all the financing for all transportation around this state for the better part of 2 decades.
Right.
What we just had last week, we had competing proposals. The governor was looking at a $1.9 billion transportation proposal. The legislature came back with a $500 million proposal. There was some back and forth that was involved. Business community was looking for a 25 cents increase in the gas tax. We came back and said, no, we think we'd do a 3 cents. So what happened last week, Kevin, the governor had vetoed the more modest proposal of the legislature. He was looking for, frankly, additional funds because he's concerned long-term about transportation. We overrode that veto. What that means, instead of having the $1.9 billion tax package, it's a $500 million on a gas tax. Now, people listening, people said, I don't want to pay more for the gas tax, nor do I. I drive every single day back and forth to Boston. However, we have not raised the gas tax for 21 years in Massachusetts, and it shows. For all of our transportation needs, what we've done instead, and Bob knows this because of the work Bob does on the school committee, we've been deferring maintenance on so many things, right, and it becomes so much more expensive thereafter. So, for instance, one thing that many people didn't know is for the last 20 years, we've been paying salaries for people who work for the Department of Transportation, not with regular tax funds and not with rates on the gas tax. We've been bonding and paying a person's salary over 20 years. It's a terrible financial way of doing business. We're putting an end to it. So this transportation package that we just passed, just did the override but last Wednesday, that will take effect this Wednesday. It's going to end that practice of paying people's salaries on the credit card. We're going to forward fund things called the Regional Transportation Authorities, which is a major thing that we've been trying to do for a reform.
But with this three cent gas tax,
yes.
Is this not one that has a built-in kicker where with inflation? What's your thoughts on that?
I voted against that when it first was coming through. What we did in phases. There was a first proposal that I actually voted against where I said, you know, I'd rather go with a higher gas tax to begin with and then, you know, like a 5 cents.
Yeah.
And then every time we need to raise it, come back before us. I did not succeed in that, in my view. So then it came back with the compromise version that came out of what's called a conference committee. That compromise version that came back had the kicker that will have it go with the consumer price index. And then we all were left with a decision. At the time, if we did not vote last week to override the governor's veto, the MBTA would have had a $120 million hole in the budget. They would have had immediately had to been raising rates. We also would have still been paying these salaries essentially on the credit card. Really, we were doing what is prudent financial decisions. And what I'm most proud about, in between that first vote where I said, look, I don't like the indexing, and I also didn't like all the money going into Boston, we got some great concessions where we now have, before we just took that vote last week, we're getting $300 million now for roads and bridges spread out around the state. Marshfield and Scituate are going to see a 50% increase in their money for Chapter 90 monies to fix our roads and bridges. We're finally getting back and pushing back to make sure that regions outside of Boston get their fair share of transportation.
So you wasn't really necessarily too happy with the whole thing with the gas tax, but you had to kind of do what you had to do to.
Yeah, well, part of being a leader and part of, in my view, and I'm at the lowest levels at the state. Right? Yep. We have the governor and others, but part of our responsibility is to go out and talk to people and say, you know what? We want, people will pay a tiny bit more, and indeed, in this case, the average person is going to pay $14 more a year for the gas tax. I'm on the higher side. I'm going to pay about $30 a year because I drive in and out every single day. But part of our job is to explain to people, look, we haven't raised the gas tax in 21 years. By the way, looking at other states around us, because as we weren't doing it, other states did. So right now, New York pays 50.6 cents for their gas tax. Connecticut is 46 cents. Rhode Island, 32 cents. Maine is 30 cents. Vermont, 26.7. We, with this new increase of 3 cents, we're going to pay 24 cents. We're less than half of New York. And I raise that just because we know we hadn't been doing things, South Shore projects, for a very long time because all the money went to Boston.
Jim, one of the things that's going to be happening in the next couple of years is the tolls are going to be coming off the Mass Pike. And a lot of people have said, does that leave room for open road tolling? What's your opinion on the open road tolling piece, because in the long term that could actually benefit local communities, but in the long term, you know, it could hurt individuals, just in some people's opinions. What's your thought on the open road tolling?
It's a great question, because, you know, first of all, I don't believe you're going to ever see the tolls really coming down on the turnpike. You have to have a future governor would have to certify that all the roads are in perfect shape. Future Department of Transportation would say, no, we've got these all in perfect condition. I don't think that's going to happen, first of all. But one of our things we were so concerned about for our South Shore delegation, we didn't want to have any tolls on Route 3. We're saying, you know, we have bad enough commute. Yeah. You have Metro West people and folks further out saying, that's not fair. You know, the North Shore, they have tolls. Metro West, they have tolls. And they always point to us and say, how come? You guys don't have any. So that was part of our thing. We said, look, we don't want any tolling in our area. If we're going to do a modest gas tax, we'll go in that direction. Here, some things in the future, because we are getting far more efficient cars, the gas tax has been our traditional way of trying to fund some roads and bridges for repairs. But there are some proposals out there. One that I think is freaky. It would be putting a little computer chip in your registration sticker on your car, and it would keep track about how many miles
Big
you drive.
Brother's watch.
That is odd.
I don't like that at all. But
I have to ask you, of any of the $500 million in this finance package, is any of it going towards anything in your district, like Route 139? Is any of that money coming to this district?
Not directly. What is happening, we have been fighting for a couple of years now. What I say, it's fighting the big dig culture of all the money going into Boston. Here's what we do have coming to our area. We have over $200 million coming for a new bridge, Four River Bridge. That work has been put off for a long time. That helps Scituate drivers, Marshfield drivers, all South Shore drivers. Route 139, we already got that funding on a tip list. We did that by having the governor come down, see how terrible the traffic was. I'm really proud of the fact when all the money was going towards Boston-centric things, we got our fair share, so our almost $5 million. Now, because that work is being done, we've already had four brand-new businesses come to Marshfield. South Shore Chamber of Commerce, which, by the way, endorsed this 3 cents increase in the gas tax. South Shore Chamber of Commerce is projecting Route 139 repairs are going to it's going to generate some 900 new jobs once we have build out.
You mentioned South Shore Chamber. See, you triggered something by saying that. But I mean, my next guest is waiting, so I can't really get into it.
Right.
But I would believe that they may have been for the gas tax, but I think they would question this. I know this is a software tax that's in here that a lot of folks aren't too happy with either, feeling that that's like a job killer. But that's another, unless you want to comment it real quick.
No, I think it's a legitimate, at least concern to raise that all of the public policy folks have come back and said, look, we're going to make sure to come back and do corrective language, because the concern was, as it was presented that this
kind
is
kind of like a blanket type of thing, where if you do any kind of computer work or use software, that you could be taxed, right?
Right. It's not that. It's not of that nature, but that's exactly what the worry is that it could be extensive. So you'll see the statement that the South Shore Chamber of Commerce did, Peter Foreman, was saying very much in favor of a gas tax that's targeted right to roads and bridges, very much in favor of doing these other tax, the cigarette tax, the other things that we know will come right back and be able to help us address things that we haven't funded for a very long time. And by the way, I know we're running a little bit over, but I have to make my pitch. As the coastal legislator, I'm up there fighting every day trying to get more money here for us. We just talked about $120 million that the governor put in an environmental bond. We know we haven't been funding infrastructure all up and down the coast, and we need to be able to show the ability, as I think taxpayers, saying when we see money spent in a wise, efficient manner, we're going to support that. We're not going to support blanket things that get done so money goes into a general fund. I think we struck a really good balance last week that was not what the governor was looking for, was not what some other groups were looking for, but a very modest way to make sure we address the immediate needs.
Two more quick questions, please. And then we got to wrap the segment up.
Sure.
Are you pleased with the progress on Route 139? How's that going for you?
I am. I was frustrated for a while about the fact that a lot of these poles were still there.
Verizon, they're waiting for Verizon to remove those, right?
Correct. That was part of it. But we also have Columbia Gas. As the work started, we found that there was a gas pipe that was too close to where the new road was going to be. We demanded that they pull that out. Another $300,000 they had to pay for on their own. So that was delaying things a bit. In fairness to Verizon, there were some landowners along the area here who were refusing to give them authority to put a new pole on their property. That slowed things a little bit. But I was concerned. We had the groundbreaking last March. We notified all of the utilities way in advance, and I was concerned that it seemed to be going slower than I wished for the polls. I will tell you now, though, we've had a lot of work out there. You'll see NSTAR has done all of the electrical work at the top for the high voltage wires. Verizon has had people out there. They're supposed to be done by the end of August. We then have Comcast. You're going to see those poles, Kevin. We should come back for another segment. Those poles.
Maybe in a couple of weeks we'll have
please,
you back.
Yeah, those poles will be moved by the end of this calendar year. We'll have all four lanes for travel by the end of this calendar year.
Is there anything you want to touch upon in your Cantwell report real quick for your final wrap-up?
I do, since we're talking so much about infrastructure. One thing is that everyone, as we're trying to get back and forth to work, we're talking Route 139, talk of other kinds of transportation issues. One thing that we need to always keep an eye on is our dredging. Dredging for our fishermen. We have, by the way, and Bob, you may not know this, but Marshfield and Scituate combined have the fourth most productive seafood fishing ports in the state. It goes New Bedford, then Gloucester, then Boston, then Marshfield, Scituate combined. So I've been doing a lot of work to make sure that we every year fight to get dredging money for Green Harbor, do the same thing for Scituate Harbor. When we're talking of infrastructure, we got this year $20 million at a time when there were cuts everywhere. I came on your show, Kevin, we talked about how we would combine with people who wanted repairs to dams across the state. We got a great coalition of folks that I helped put together that passed a $20 million authorization that's going to help us rebuild work for seawalls and dams. Marshfield, because we had a great job from our seawall committee and from a lot of other folks, Marshfield just passed a $4 million appropriation just this town meeting. Mm. We're at the top of the list to get money from that $20
million. Okay.
And as we already talked about, two things. Congressman Keating just came here June 17th.
Yep.
We did an entire coastal summit that I'll send information to you to put on the website. But he'll be coming back. Joe and I just were talking about it, to have a forum that follows. Joe's is August 8th. Talking about with Doris Crary, who is a brilliant woman who's been working for years on this issue with the FEMA flood insurance map changes. We need you to give a lot of attention to that, because we need to let people know.
We will. And Jim, thank you very much for coming
Kevin,
in.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
that.
We'll
be back on in a couple of weeks. We step aside. Chris McMillan looking for your vote for mayor come September 17th. We'll be back with that in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.